Praise the Lord. I know that really ministered to folks tonight. We used to sing it a little differently. We used to sing, I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me. On him I can depend. Hallelujah. I've heard Brother Brock testify that when he got saved, right then he determined he was going all the way and never entertained turning back. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. Can you say amen tonight? Praise the Lord. Brother Brian and I did not coordinate this at all. We had no idea, but here it is. On Sunday nights, we've been looking into the book of Acts and doing what I call walking our way through the book of Acts. And I want you to turn tonight to Acts chapter 6. We're going to look there and ask the Lord to speak to us yet again. I believe Jesus is coming after the same kind of church that he left. He's coming after a Holy Spirit moved, motivated church. I want to be that church. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't want to say anything in alarm, but I said it Wednesday night, I'll say it tonight. God has been moving, but when we go a few services without someone praying for salvation in our altars, it's time to seek the Lord, because I think he wants a church where folks are coming to know him on a continual basis. I'm going to read one verse as the focal point, and then we'll beginning in verse 1. I'm going to let you remain seated tonight. And the verse I'm going to read as the focus is verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among ye 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Right in the middle of the verse, one of the descriptive qualifications for the men they were to look for were that these men were to be full of the Holy Ghost. I want to entitle this tonight, I'm going to break two rules. I want to entitle it, I want to use a question mark, and I want to end the sentence with of. So for you grammarians, you'll just have to forgive me tonight. But I want to ask the question, what are you full of? Look you out men that are full of the Holy Ghost. If I know the mind of God, he would love for every one of us to leave this house tonight full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can be full of other things. I've told you before, but years ago I was preaching a meeting at my home church, and we had a sister who had been a wonderful saint of God, but she had become ill, and in her illness, I'll let you judge, but most felt like it affected her mind. And I'd preached that Sunday night, and I was at my parents' on Monday and just relaxing. We were staying at my parents', and the phone rings. My parents' house, they answer the phone. And my mom said, yes, he's here. And she said, Clifford, it's for you. And she handed the phone to me. Back then you had to get up to, you know, Brother Dale, it was on a cord, you know. And so I got up and got a hold of the phone. She said, Clifford. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I heard you preach last night. Yes, ma'am. She said, I just called to tell you, you're full of baloney. Click. Some people aren't full of the Holy Ghost tonight. They're full of other things. Brother Brian mentioned some of those. Bitterness, hurt, worldly-mindedness. You know, there's a law of science that you can't be filled with two things at the same time. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. Let's begin with verse 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, I want to talk about why they were looking for men full of the Holy Ghost. And the reason was this: even though the church was in the midst of the greatest revival that mankind had ever had, there arose a problem. There arose a disagreement. There were people in the middle of the move of God who were criticizing. There were people that were upset right in the middle of a move of God. Now, I want to tell you something. It's inherent in human nature that the church is always going to have issues that arise. It's not so much that problems arise in the church. It's not so much that issues come up. It's how the church handles them. And even though it may be human nature to have problems, we need to handle the problems in the church not just from human nature. We need to handle the problems in the church with a Holy Spirit-filled heart and a Bible-inspired mind. Amen. And so this problem came up. What was this problem in brief? Well, you see, when you read Grecians here, these weren't talking about Greeks. These were talking about Grecian Jews. I'm not going to go into all the history, but you've read in your Old Testament how because of their sins, God scattered the Jews across the empires of that time. And now you have many more Jews that are not living in Israel. They're living in different cities across the Roman Empire. Well, guess what? It was like it is today. Those Jews that were living away from Israel, they made their money in the cities. They became quite wealthy. They looked for a place to retire. And they said, what better place to retire than the holy city where we can go to the temple every day and we can be in the holy land of our forefathers? And so you have all these Jews from all over the Roman Empire that were retiring and coming to Jerusalem to spend their retirement. They have more money than the Jews that are native to Israel. Now, being of retirement age, there was a lot of them that became widows, and the money ran out. And so the problem that arose, these Hebrews that had came from across from other cities that spoke Greek, and hardly any Hebrew, they were murmuring against the native, the Hebrews that were from that area, because it looked like the Hebrew widows were getting all the money that came into the church. How many remembers in the book of Acts we talked about how people would sell land and give money to support those in need? And so the problem arises, it looks like the homies are getting all the money, and we that have just moved in recently and new to the city, we're being discriminated against, and our widows aren't getting what they need. Now, that does sound like a problem, and it was a problem. You know, it seems that problem always arises. Somebody feels like somebody else is in the church is getting more attention than they are, gets to sing more, God forbid. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about things never change. It's not that the problem arises. It's what are we going to do with it? What did they do with it? Let's look at verse 2. Then the 12, the apostles, called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we, the apostles, should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, this doesn't mean serve tables, put the towel over your hand and say, yes, could I take your order? Would you like some more iced tea? The tables here are the money tables where the money is distributed to the widows. And the apostles are saying, God has called us to preach. God has called us to teach. God has called us to go out and pray for folks and to pray. And if we sit in here trying to sit at the table, the treasurer's table, and divide the money to the happiness of everyone, we won't be preaching. We won't be praying. And so they're making clear something that we can never forget. I want you to notice the first way they handled this problem. They focused on what the main thing was. Listen, a lot of things can arise, but the church forever must keep the main thing, the main thing. I'm telling you, we gather here at the church, the main thing is that the word of God is preached, that souls can be saved, that people can be liberated, that folks are able to worship and pray and find help for their souls. We can get disagreement over the color of the carpet. You want lime green and someone else wants pink carpet, and we can have a big old fight till the church is split and everybody's unhappy and everybody's sour and everybody's taking side, and we forgot the main thing. It don't matter if the carpet's green or pink. What matters is that the word of God is preached and God is glorified and folks find salvation. I want to tell you, whenever ever an issue arises, it may be something the pastor knows about or not, stop and say this: what is the main thing here? Keep the main thing the main thing. The apostle said the main thing is that we preach and that we pray. Amen. No problem will be saved to everyone's satisfaction. Amen. But if everybody is focused on what truly matters, on what is the main thing, then the church will go forward and not be divided. Amen. Some will insist on their thing and cause a disagreement until the church loses sight of the main thing. May that not be. Verse 3. So here's how they say we're going to solve this. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, let me say this. Some say this is a precursor to deacons, taking care of the material matters of the church, and that very well may be. And at this time, it's estimated, just from the numbers and Acts, that the church in this Jerusalem area numbered 20,000 people. So they were selecting seven men to take care of the widows of 20,000 people. But I want you to notice in particular their qualifications. It didn't say, now see if they're a president of the bank, or go see if they have their own business and know how to run their business well. And those things could play a role in this. But there are things more important just than their business sense to take care of business. The things more important than just business sense to take care of business is that they are of honest report. They are people of integrity. I'm glad that we have folks of integrity around here. But it's not just that they have a good reputation. It's that they must be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Thank God if you're taking care of the business of the church that you have men that have business sense. But business sense in the church only works good if it goes with integrity and being filled with the Holy Ghost. But what I want to focus on is full of the Holy Ghost. Now listen, all through the book of Acts, we hear where they were filled with the Spirit. But all of a sudden, we've switched from being filled with the Spirit to being full of the Spirit. What's the difference? What's the difference between filled and full? Well, filled refers to the process. I'm going to get real deep again. To be full, you have to have had to be filled. You can't be full without being filled. And filled refers to the process of seeking God and believing His promise and worshiping Jesus until there is an experience where He fills you with the Holy Ghost. And having been filled, now you're full. I don't know how you feel about it, but I want to be full of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, I need some help again. I may not have any volunteers after this morning. Nathan, would you help me? Noah's going to help me. Just turn around there. You go ahead and take that and turn around and face him. Right there. Look at Nathan. Nathan, show him your cup. Okay. Oh, you see, there's not much in there. This is water. It's okay. I'm going to pour a little bit in there, okay? Don't drink it. But over here, you can't show them your cup. I'm filling. This is filled. It's being filled right now. And since I've filled it, it's full. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing about being full tonight. He isn't full. Right now, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. He's not full. I mean, he could have things hit him. Just hold tight to that. Anything come out? I mean, he's going through rough times. The devil's even got a hold of him. Not a thing came out. But his is full. He has conflict. Somebody goes the wrong direction against him, and what happens? I mean, the devil comes and gets a hold of him. What happens? Be sure you don't pray right here. Any little thing that happens to him, and look what's coming out, the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's full. This guy, he hadn't got full. So everything bothers him. No spirit in his situation. No spirit in his attitude. No spirit in his thinking. No spirit. When anything happens to him, there's no spirit because he's simply not full. And the things of life come and nothing comes out. Now let's thank you, Nathan. You stay right here. Let's forget the spirit, because see, some people aren't full of the spirit. They're full of other things. And just like it works with the spirit, it works with other things. If you happen to be full of bitterness, somebody can say something and they don't even mean anything by it. They just barely bump you with their words. And here comes that bitterness. Right? Little something comes up and you're full of anger. Just a little conflict. And just a little conflict. And it comes out. Thank you. See, it matters what you're full of. You know why they wanted men full of the Holy Spirit? Because they're dealing with conflict. They're dealing with trouble. And they wanted men, when the conflict came against them, it wouldn't be bitterness that came out. It wouldn't be anger. It wouldn't be self-will. The thing, if they're full of the Spirit, that's going to come out in the conflict, it's the Holy Spirit. Because that's what they're full of. It works the same in a home. I want to be full of the Spirit so that when things come into my life against me, it's the Spirit that comes out. Can you say amen? Now, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something wonderful here. You may say, well, I'm not a pastor. I don't need to be full of the Spirit. Or I'm a young person, and I haven't served God as many years. I could have had a 5-gallon bucket up here or this little cup and have one guy hold the 5-gallon bucket and the other guy hold the cup. But if both the 5-gallon bucket is full and the cup is full, if I'm pouring into them, they overflow the same amount. It doesn't matter who you are. If you'll give your vessel to the Lord, whatever your role in life, amen, if you'll let Him fill you till you're full, then anytime God begins to move, you will overflow just as much as the other. Aren't you glad He's no respecter of persons? Amen. It says we need them full of the Holy Ghost that we may appoint them over this business. They wanted those that handled the money, those that were involved in the assistance program, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I like this. I'm not going to bore you with it tonight, but how many remembers when they built the tabernacle? We covered that a little while ago. That even the men that did the needlework, the Bible said, we're filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I think we ought to have the attitude where whether we play the piano, whether we drive the van, whether we're a worshiper that comes and worship, whether we preach, whether we sing in the choir, it ought to be our intent that when we come to minister before God, we come full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's read on. Disciples said, verse 4, but we're going to keep the main thing the main thing. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And they chose Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Now, by the way, all these are Greek names. They're wise, the apostles. They're home Jews, but they chose Greek Jews to handle the problem with Greek widows. This isn't Philip the apostle. This is another Philip. Verse 6. Whom the people set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Now look, They had a problem. Did they allow it to stop them? No, they got people full of the Holy Spirit to handle the problem. And look what happened. Here's the result. Verse 7. And the word of God increased. The thing that could have stopped the revival, the thing that could have caused division, didn't happen because they got people full of the Holy Spirit involved to handle the conflict. I want to tell you, we might find being full of the Spirit would solve a lot of situations, both at home and at work and at church. When the church could have split, when the church could have split into the Greek Jews and the Hebrew Jews, instead, when you got people full of the Holy Spirit involved, the Word of God increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Even some of those old Judaizers that were involved in that, stirring up the crowd against Jesus, even some of them were getting saved. Isn't that wonderful? Satan thought he had them. He said, I'm going to split that church, stop the move of God. But getting people full of the Holy Spirit involved, it only increased the Word of God. Now, in verse 8, we're going to have an example of one of those men full of the Spirit. Your namesake, Brother Hoffman. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. You say, wait a minute, I thought he was full of the Holy Ghost, and now it's saying he's full of faith and power. Yes, sir. The reason he was full of faith and power was because he was full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost gave him the faith. The Holy Spirit gave him the power. The Holy Spirit gave him the gift of miracles and healings. He did wonders and miracles about the... Now notice, they chose him to help count money for the widows. But because he's full of the Holy Ghost, he wasn't just counting money for the widows. He was preaching on the side, praying for the sick. Hallelujah. And he's not an apostle. You say, well, I'm not the preacher. You can still pray for the sick. Visit the sick. Verse 9. I don't want to bore you, but this is exciting stuff. Then there arose. I preached this morning. The devil never stops. Just got one problem taken care of. And then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, and they began to dispute with Stephen. He was trying to preach, and they were hecklers, we'd call them today. Verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit with which he spake. They tried to argue against him when he preached Christ, but he was so full of the Holy Ghost, when he responded with the good news, they were quiet. They didn't know how to answer. They couldn't resist. By the way, getting smart with the people of this world, even if they are hecklers, answering them in kind with anger and loudness, that'll never do anything. The only thing that'll help is to be full of the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Spirit answer them. How many knows Jesus said that would happen when we had conflict with this world? He said, listen, if you'll let him, the Holy Spirit will speak through you. It'll happen. It could happen at work. Those men heckle you at work for your faith, or those ladies. Amen. Don't get mad. Don't get upset. Get full of the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Spirit answer them. You see, the Holy Spirit will make a difference in every conflict of your life. Let's read on. Verse 11. Then they suborned men, connived with men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Listen, and these suborned men, these conniving men, they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. You know, I appreciate the word here. They stirred him up. I mean, they're already heckling Stephen, but that wasn't enough. They couldn't resist the Holy Ghost, so they went out and find false witnesses and kind of convince them and pressured them to witness falsely against Stephen. And then they begin to stir up the people and the leaders and the scribes until they got them so stirred up, they laid hands on Stephen and drug him in before the council. I want to tell you tonight, even today, there are stirrers. There are people who like nothing better than to stir the pot of rumor and imagination. They can take the smallest thing that may be happening, something that can be handled easily with prayer and seeking the Lord, and let's take care of this thing. But it's not sufficient for them to see it taken care of. They want to put their two bits in and stir that thing up. I want to tell you, there's some folks that are stirrers. One of the best commitments you can make as a Christian, as a child of God, is in the church of God to never be a stirrer. Let the people that are responsible to take care of it, take care of it. And don't be one that on phone and email and social media stir up something. Don't really know much of the facts. Don't know much of what happened. But you get just a little whisk of something that happened. And you take just a little bit that you heard. And you begin to add things to it. And imagine things. And connive up things in your mind. And just stir and go to someone else and say, have you heard? Did you know? Hey, there's something we need to pray about. I'm only telling you this because I want you to help me pray. And you don't really know the ins and outs. But oh, you go to this one and that one and type out an email and put it on Facebook and just stir that thing up. I'm telling you, the only stirring that needs to go on is when God stirs our soul, or we stir up ourselves to seek the Lord. Verse 13. And they set up false witnesses, which says, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in that council looked steadfastly on him and saw his face as it had been in the face of an angel. Help me again, Noah. Oh, hallelujah. You won't have to take a bath or a shower for a week. Here's Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost. They're making false accusations. They're claiming he did things he never did. They're coming against him. They've pulled him into the council. But he's full of the Holy Ghost. And when all that conflict came against him, here came the Holy Spirit. How did it come out? It came out with the shine and the glory of an angel. He's full of the Holy Ghost. That conflict came against him, and the Holy Spirit came out on his countenance. We used to talk about that in church service. I've seen it happen, Sister Dale. Here's this old sinner, hardened and dulled in face by sin, and come to the altar and pray and seek the Lord till his sins were gone and God had filled him with love and mercy and grace, and his whole countenance would change. And he'd get up and you would think that his face was glowing. I've seen people get full of the Holy Ghost, and when they got through praying, you looked at them and there was a shine about their face. That's what happened to Stephen. He is full of the Holy Ghost, and all that false accusation, all the things they were saying against him, and when they bumped him with that conflict, the shine of an angel, the countenance of an angel, the glory of the Lord came out. You mind to stay here for, well, maybe you want to just sit down there for a minute. Hallelujah. Don't you want to be that full of the Holy Spirit so when folks come against you, it's the glory of God that comes out? Now, in chapter 7, we have one of the longest sermons in the Bible. I'm not going to read it, but Stephen starts preaching. He goes all the way back at this time, 2,100 years, and starts with Abraham and talks. They all know this. By the way, preachers are mainly reminders. If you've got to have a preacher that tells you something new, that will not be a biblical preacher. Biblical preachers are reminders. This is what God has said in his word. He started with Abraham, talked about how God called Abraham and promised him a seed and a blessing. He went through Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, spent a lot of time with Joseph, and then Moses. Got to talking about Moses. I mean, he's preaching with anointing. He's full of the Holy Ghost, and he's doing really well. Verse 37, this is when they start getting really riled up, because in verse 37 of chapter 7, amen, Stephen even said, this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, and him ye shall hear. He was talking about Jesus. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness. Amen. They're beginning to understand that Stephen is bringing this all around to talking about Jesus. And I want to notice one other verse in verse 39. To whom our fathers would not obey. Oh, now they're getting the message. Stephen's now talking about them. Amen. They would not obey, but they thrust him from them, and in their hearts they turned back again to Egypt. I'm not going to preach it tonight, but that's where a lot of folks are. They're still sitting on a pew in the church house, but in their hearts they're already back in Egypt. Amen. They know, these leaders, this crowd knows that Stephen's talking about them. He went on and began to preach. And then in verse 45, he was talking about our fathers. And they came and they brought in with Jesus or Joshua the possession of the Gentiles. Verse 46, they found favor before God. Verse 47, Solomon built a house. Verse 48, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as said the prophet, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me? I mean, Stephen's headed for this, the church full of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. But notice in verse 50, he's preaching away. Hath not my hand made all? Stephen's just preaching away. And the scripture never says it. But from what comes next, you can tell that the crowd no longer was listening to him. They had worked themselves into a fervor. They begin to heckle and they begin to scream and they begin to holler, even as Stephen preached. How do I know that? Because Stephen interrupted his sermon in verse 51. He said to that crowd, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Amen. It's a dangerous thing to resist the Holy Ghost. I have found that if you're in a Bible-believing church, amen, one or three things are possible. Either you're moving with the Holy Ghost, or you're ignoring the moving of the Holy Ghost, or you are actively resisting the Holy Ghost. Amen. Stephen was moving with the Holy Ghost, but the audience, the crowd, were resisting the Holy Ghost. It's not time to resist the Holy Ghost. It's time to get full of the Holy Ghost. You hear the word preach, and God talks directly to you about your need, but you pass it off and you say, the pastor don't know what he's talking about. Amen. I'll go ahead and do what I want to do. You are resisting the Holy Ghost. Can't come out good. Let's read on. Verse 52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? They have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and the murderers, who have received the law from the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. He's referring to Mount Sinai. He said the angels of the Lord really gave the law to Moses. You've received the law from the hand of angels. Look at verse 54. The Holy Ghost is moving. By the way, the Holy Ghost moving can be a positive thing in your life, or it can be a miserable thing. It determines on how you respond. It was the Holy Ghost that was moving, but because they responded wrongly, the Bible says they were cut to the heart and gnashed their teeth on him with their teeth. I always knew when my father, he very rarely got angry, but I always knew when he was getting angry because he had talked through his teeth. I told you. I mean, they were angry. I mean, it could imply they were even biting him. I'm not going to bite you, rest assured. Gnashing their teeth. Why? Because instead of surrendering to the Holy Spirit, they resisted him. Oh, go ahead and stand back up with your cup. Here it is again. Isn't this where we started? But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. I mean, he was full of the Holy Ghost, and they started gnashing on him with their teeth, and the Holy Ghost came out and sloshed over on his eyes and opened his eyes. And instead of seeing that maddened crowd snarling and heckling and screaming, he saw the face of the Son of God. So I'm telling you, you get full of the Holy Ghost, it'll slosh over on your eye. You'll see it differently. Hallelujah. Just stay right there with me. Full of the Holy Ghost. Then verse 57, then they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears, and they ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city. You'll have to help me here in just a minute. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen as he was calling upon God and saying, Lord, receive my spirit. How would you look? Full of the Holy Ghost. They start, I'll be careful. You help me out, though. You make it slosh, because I've sloshed a lot out. They stoned him. But every stone that hit him just made the Holy Ghost come out more until he fell down at his knees. Now stay right there. Amen. And he kneeled down. Stones hitting him. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. I want you to notice, as the stones took the life from his body. Listen, here it is. I'm done. No stones knocked the Holy Spirit. You know what the last, because he was full of the Holy Spirit, you know what the last thing that came out of him was? Forgiveness. Oh, he was full of the Holy Ghost. They were killing him, stoning him, but because he's full of the Holy Ghost, the thing that sloshed out was forgiveness. And that's so fitting, because what's the last thing that came out of our Lord himself was the same thing Stephen said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It matters what you're full of. Because when the conflict, persecution, and suffering comes, that's what's going to come out. Would you come, music? Thank you. Hallelujah. Well, I said hallelujah. What's been coming out of your life, your mind, your mouth, your thoughts, is simply an evidence of what you're full of. But I've got good news tonight. He will fill your heart today to overflowing, as the Lord commandeth you, bring your vessels, not of you, and he will fill your heart today to overflowing. How many wants to be full of the Holy Spirit? The way to be full of the Holy Spirit is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's stand tonight. Let's worship him across the building. Oh God, I want to be full of your Spirit. I don't want to be full of my own ways. I don't want to be full of my own thoughts. I don't want to be full of silliness or full of hurt or full of bitterness or full of anger or full of jealousy or full of strife. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. When the conflicts of life come, what comes out is your goodness, your mercy, your love, your grace, your joy, your peace. Hallelujah. I'm not going to say tonight, if you can't lift a hand, say, right now I can tell you for certainty I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to say that you're not saved tonight or you're not walking with God. But I will tell you how you can know you're backslidden tonight. The proverbial said, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. If it's all about you, it's all about your feelings, if it's all about your preference, it's all about what you think is right and wrong. You see, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, it's all about Jesus. It's all about his thoughts. It's all about his ways. Amen. 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 Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. If you want to be full of the Spirit, I want to come and encourage you to seek the Lord tonight. Just open up your heart and say, I want to be full. I want to leave the house of God tonight full of your Spirit. Would you come and fill these altars up and say, Lord, I want to leave your house tonight full of your Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.